You remember when Calvary made a difference in your life? I do. Amen. The old rugged cross made the difference is the way they said it 50 years ago. Appreciate that beautiful song there. Brother McBride, I appreciate you coming. Right before Brother Zorn preaches, would you come and pray for us, testify? If anybody knows how to pray for somebody in this pulpit, it ought to be Brother McBride. He's been here several times. And no pressure at all, but you pray for him. He's tentatively slated for a few nights next year. So saying that on his way up here, but not to pressure him or anything like that, but I thought it'd be good.
Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? Greatly to be praised. And he sure has been good to me and blessed me beyond my wildest dreams and imaginations. The Lord's been good to me. And it's because of that grace they were singing about and that blood and the mercy of God. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Now, Father, we love you because you first loved us. We are grateful tonight for your grace and mercy. And we are glad to be assembled together with the saints of God. Lord, I pray tonight for the man of God, for the preacher. I pray, Lord, that there'll be a holy unction on his life. I pray, dear God, you'd guard his mind and his thoughts. I pray you'd give him great liberty. And I pray, Lord, that you'll let us help him as he preaches. Yes, Lord. That we'll listen to what he has to say and we'll open our hearts. Lord, I need preaching. I need help, Lord. I need you to do something in my heart and in my mind tonight and in my spirit. So I pray the Holy Ghost of God will overshadow the preacher. And I pray the preacher of the Word of God will go forth in power and in truth and love. And I pray we'll leave different than we came tonight. Lord, we want you to be glorified and lifted up. Lord, if you get glorified, we'll get helped. So you help us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you and give you the praise. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Brother Zorn, you come right on. Brother Zorn's been here the last 2 years. We had a different preacher each night those weeks. And he preached one night the last 2 years. And such a blessing. Good to have his wife with us. And I'm glad she could come over this time. Brother, make yourself at home. We love you.
Love you, too. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Go to Leviticus in chapter number 22. The book of Leviticus, chapter 22. While you're turning there, let me say it is a joy to be here tonight. And I asked Preacher Raines when we got out of the car and saw Preacher McBride coming across the parking lot. I told Brother Raines, I said, can I just yield my time to him? He said, this isn't politics. You can't do that here. So I tried, though, y'all. I tried. But he said, well, couldn't. But I appreciate you being here tonight and thank you for coming and being a part of the meeting. Did you enjoy the good singing? Say amen. Thank God for the Ellis family and the songs that God allows them to write and be a blessing to us. And I thank God these good godly songwriters still writing songs. The Ellis family, Miss Natalie Raines, Sister York, and so many folks still, God's using them to write stuff for the church that helps us and packed full of doctrine. And the best thing about it too, about these people, is you know how they live in. Say amen right there. And thank God for that. And I appreciate it. And it helped me tonight. That was an encouragement. I never heard that last song you guys sang. That was wonderful. I'm glad we see things different since we made our way by Calvary. It all looks different when you're on the right side of Calvary. Amen. One thief saw it different than the other one did. And it just all depends on which side of the cross you're on as to how you see the man in the middle. I'm glad for the day I passed from death to life and I saw things. I saw him different. He looks a whole lot different on this side. And I appreciate the confirmation of the Lord tonight. This is what's been on my heart all day long. And was out at the church doing some tree trimming and different things I needed to do around the church before we left. And this is just what God had on my heart all day. So I want you to look at Leviticus chapter number 22. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. I wish you'd bear with me just for a moment or two. And let's read the first 16 verses if we could. There's a phrase that occurs over and over throughout the first 16 verses that I don't want us to miss tonight, and I want us to grab a hold of, and may the Lord put it down into our heart. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 22, verse number 1. If you found your place with me, say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from, here's our phrase tonight, the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me, I am the Lord. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence, I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean even until even, and shall not eat of the holy things until he wash his flesh with water. When the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself or is torn with beast, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die therefore. If they profane it, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Verses 10 and 11 really is our text tonight. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priest or an hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall be no stranger eat thereof. And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto it and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass when they eat their holy things, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. 11 times in the first 16 verses of Leviticus chapter number 22, this phrase, holy things, the holy thing, the holy things, is used over and over and over for our learning, for our admonition, and for our edification. I realize many times you're reading through your Bible, I hope you commit to trying at least reading through it at least once a year. And if you do, you make it through Genesis real good. Who doesn't like Genesis? I mean, you know, things getting created. Floods are happening. You know, Abraham, the father of faith, and Joseph, the great man that he was. You did real good coming through Genesis. You got to Exodus, and man, you's off to a roaring start because you's reading about plagues and bushes on fire and seas getting parted. But all of a sudden, you got about 20 chapters or so into Exodus, and you started reading about the construction of the tabernacle and boards and tacks and lavers and altars and basins and coverings, and you started saying, well, surely it's going to get better when I get to Leviticus. And you hit Leviticus, and you got a couple chapters in, and you said, let's just skip the Psalms. It's got to be better over there. But I'll be honest with you, the more that I've, in the last little while, even done some study and reading in the book of Leviticus, I've done a lot of preaching lately out of this book to our church, and there's been so much practical help out of the book of Leviticus that's been a blessing to me personally and to our church. And can I say this? The more that you read the New Testament and you also read Leviticus, what you'll find is the fingerprints of Leviticus are all over the New Testament. The Apostle Paul even makes this statement in Romans chapter number 7. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul said, when I read that law, there's something back over there. I know we're not under it anymore. We're under grace, but there's some beautiful pictures. There's some beautiful types, and there is so much of what Paul says in the New Testament church age of grace that he directly grabs out of the book of Leviticus and sticks it into New Testament church age doctrine for you and for I tonight. For a few minutes, I'd just like to preach on this thought out of these 16 verses. I'm preaching on this thought, having a part in holy things. Having a part in holy things. You say, preacher, what are the holy things here? We read it over and over and over. What are these holy things? What is that? Well, simply put, any time that a man would come to the temple, when he would come to the tabernacle and he would offer something to the Lord, when he would bring his his trespass offering, his sin offering, his heave offering, his wave offering, his meat offering, his thank offering, so many different types of offerings that they could bring to the Lord. When he would bring that to the Lord, part of it would be roasted in the fire. Part of it would go up in smoke as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. The fat and the caul and the liver and the kidneys. Can I say that's the stuff they burn up? Y'all ought not to be eating liver tonight. Say amen right there. My wife loves liver. I tell her, I said, God didn't even want his people eating that. Just get rid of that liver and gizzards and all that. God help you if you eat chitlins. Say amen right there. Anyways, but all that went up in smoke. But the rest, the meat that was edible, the things like the shoulder and the rump and things of this nature, that was good for food. And not just some of the meat, but many times we'll find a little bit, they would even bring the first fruits of their grapes, the first fruit of their crops. And those things is what God, in his providence, allowed Aaron the priest and his family to have part of, because it had now been given to the Lord, because now it had been hallowed, because now it had been dropped off in the hand of God's priest and God's anointed. Now this, what was ordinary, is no longer ordinary. Now it is extraordinary. Now what once was just unclean seemingly, now it's clean. What was seemingly unholy, now it's holy. And let me say, anybody that was in the family of the priest, anybody that's in the household of the priest, he gets opportunity to have part in the holy things that came by way of the priest tonight. Everything that priest was allowed to have is now called something holy. And if you're a part of that house and you're a part of that family, you get to have a part in what God designates and what God calls a holy thing tonight. Now, I would just like to pause at the onset of the message and say this, Preacher Rains. We live in a day where it doesn't seem like there's much of anything holy anymore. We live in a day where even in church, it doesn't seem like anything's holy. I mean, the men aren't holy, the building ain't holy, the music ain't holy, the messages ain't holy. I mean, y'all, would you just agree with me? It just seems like this should be such a black and white issue. It doesn't seem like much anymore, but we've turned our churches into coffee bars and baristas, and I mean, it's like going to, you know, Starbucks Baptist Church or something like that. I'm not against you going to fellow. We eat breakfast every Sunday morning at the church, but we do it in the fellowship hall. You say why? Because we still think there ought to be something holy about the place where we worship, and God's people ought to still be holy in deportment and holy in fashion and holy in conversation, and there ought to still be something holy. We live in a day where they've turned church into a nightclub. You walk into some churches, man, you can't tell if you have walked into the local juke joint, looked into the local dance club, disco lights and lights swirling around. It looks like the circus, man. And true to form, normally when the preacher of that place comes out, he's the clown. And it's just a rap session with the congregation. But can I say there still should be holy things associated with the people of God tonight? Now you sit here and you say, but preacher, what does all that do for us? Yeah, okay, we get it that these things were brought to the priest and they became holy things, but what does that do for me? Well, can I say when we get over into the New Testament, the Bible uses this word over and over and over, Preacher McBride. It uses the word that we've been made partakers. We have begun, since we got saved, since we got put into the family of the high priest of heaven, you and I now have the opportunity to partake in heavenly things, to partake in holy things. The Bible said in Romans chapter 15 that the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things. How about that? I mean, us old Gentile dogs, brother, we never got to partake in anything spiritual. Now here you sit tonight enjoying all the good groceries of God and partaking in spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 17 said that we are all partakers of that one bread. We've ate of the Lord tonight. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We'll get to there in a minute. But did you notice while we're reading this? Even if you are part of the family of the priest, if you're not living clean, you're not going to enjoy the holy things. If you're not living right, you're not going to enjoy partaking in. Let me pause right here, and I don't want to get ahead. ahead of myself, but let me say this. The reason why some people come to church and this kind of preaching doesn't bless them, and that kind of singing doesn't help them, and this kind of fellowship doesn't do anything for them, is because they're not living clean outside. And when you ain't living clean, the holy things of God don't mean anything to you. Ephesians chapter 3 said the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7 said we are partakers of his grace. Colossians chapter 1 said we're partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I like this. 1 Timothy 6 2 said that believers are partakers of the benefit. The Bible said, forget not all his benefits. I am a partaker of the benefits of God tonight. The Bible said that we've been made a partaker of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:14 said we are made partakers of Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6, we've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Hebrews 12, we're partakers of his holiness. And the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 that we are partakers of the divine nature. Brother, when you got saved, God put something inside of you that enabled you to now have part in holy things that you never had part of before. I want you to get this and don't miss it. You say, preacher, how did I get this? How do I get to have part in holy things? Don't miss this. The only way to have part in holy things is you've got to meet the holy thing. Do me a favor. Don't leave Leviticus with one hand, but with the other one, go to Luke chapter 1. Notice the very first place. Don't miss this. This ain't by accident. The very first place in your Bible in the New Testament where the phrase holy thing shows up. And it's not a thing. It's a person. You don't know how you and I got to be made partaker of spiritual holy things that only the Jews at one time was able to have partaker in. We met the holy thing. The first time in the New Testament this phrase is mentioned, it sets a precedent for the rest of the New Testament. Watch Luke chapter 1 and begin reading with me in verse number 35. The angel Gabriel shows up and talks to Mary, and the Bible said in verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, what's that holy thing in the New Testament called? The Son of God. You say, what's that mean for me tonight? Well, since one day, as an 18-year-old boy, lost going to hell, I heard the message of Jesus and his love, Jesus and an empty tomb, Jesus and a death on Calvary, and I came to an altar, and I accepted God's holy thing. When I accepted God's holy thing, the holy thing has now made me meet to be a partaker of all of his holy things tonight. Listen to me, y'all. This world ain't got holy things. Preacher Martin, this world don't know about holy things. It only knows about carnal things, sensual things, devilish things, demonic things, discouraging things, depressing things. All this world has to, listen to me, all you young people, this world doesn't have anything holy to offer you. Everything this world has to offer is unholy rock gut right out of hell. This world's music ain't holy. This world's fashion ain't holy. This world's talk ain't holy. This world's fun ain't holy. We live in an unholy world. But can I say, since I met Jesus, here's all the holy things of the New Testament. Listen to everything we got that since we met Jesus, we get to partake in. The Bible said we have a Holy Ghost. We have a Holy Savior. We have holy prophets. We have holy angels. We met the Holy One. We have Holy scriptures. We have a holy kiss. We have a holy God. We have a holy Father. We have a Holy Spirit. We know about holy things. We have a holy temple. We're founded on holy apostles. We have a holy church. We're holy brethren. We have a holy place. We're part of a holy priesthood. We're part of a holy nation. We have holy men of God and holy women. We have a holy conversation. We have holy faith. We're going to a holy city called the Holy Jerusalem. Y'all, since I've been saved, I'm eyeballs deep in the holy things of God, enjoying them, and it's all because of Jesus, the high priest of heaven tonight. So for a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject, having a part in holy things. How does one get opportunity? Don't miss the message tonight. Three little points and we're going to go. How does one get opportunity, according to Leviticus, fellas, to have part in the holy things? I want to show them to you. We're going to be done. Let me say, number one, the first thing we find back in Leviticus is we find the buying in holy things. There must be a buying, a purchasing, if you will, in holy things. Watch Leviticus 22 and look at verse number 10. Don't miss this. Leviticus 22, 10. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. Y'all, we're all done for, Brother Ellis. That's me. I'm the stranger. We'll find in just a minute, there ain't no doubt, one of the greatest pieces of Scripture. I know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't get me wrong. But one of the greatest pieces of Scripture ever given to the New Testament, we're going to look at in just a minute in Ephesians 2, there ain't no doubt. Paul was writing that with this in mind. Ain't a doubt about it. You're going to see it. He says no stranger gets to eat of the holy thing. Who's the stranger? Me. I ain't no Jew. I'm an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Stranger from the covenant of promise. No hope without God in the world. I have no claim to be able to enjoy holy things. And there was a time in my life where I didn't. I didn't enjoy none of it. Brother Ellis talking about it. There's a time in my life I didn't enjoy this stuff. Keep reading. What happened though? Watch. A sojourner of the priest or an hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. It's pretty bad deal for the stranger, the sojourner, the servant. But what happens? Verse 11. But, caveat. The Lord's going to make a way for them folk that are way out there and couldn't ever get an opportunity to enjoy tasting of the good things of God. He's going to make a way for them to slide up closer under the table. How's he going to do it? But if the priest buy any soul, how does a man gain access to the holy things? The first way we find in this buying is he must be bought. And notice, I love the hound out of this. Watch verse 11. If the priest buy any soul, I'm about to cut myself a path through the woods. What's the next part? With his. It wasn't his neighbor's money. It wasn't the priest's friend's money. His own. It costed the priest something to buy this stranger. It was personal loss to him to actually take his own hard-earned money and buy this man who was, good Lord, to buy this man who was totally unworthy, who was totally unclean, who would never ever get a chance to taste a holy thing, who would never get a chance to feel the holy anointing oil, to ever get an opportunity to drink the holy drink. He'd never have opportunity. But one day, he gets bought. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine this preacher Raines? All of a sudden, here the stranger is.
slid up under the table of the priest. And they throw down that piece of holy meat. Just been waved up in front of the Lord. Just been offered in front of the Lord. Now they've cooked it up, set it on that plate. And the priest says, all right, let's eat, y'all. And he says, yeah, go ahead. But they told me if I even touch something like that, they'll kill me. Yeah, but I paid for it. I bought you. Just eat all you want. Just stuff yourself. Just gorge yourself. Why? Because I paid for you. Can I say, here we sit tonight, just a bunch of old Gentiles ought not to have no right to be enjoying a Jewish Savior, reading a Jewish book, going to a new Jerusalem. How in the world? I'm just plumb full. How? Because one day on a cross, my high priest walked to the top of the hill, but he didn't buy with gold and silver. He didn't buy with diamonds and rubies, but with his own blood, at great price, at great expense to him, he bought me tonight. You think Paul was thinking about this when he wrote these words? Wherefore, remember. Won't y'all remember something? That ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, y'all, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But caveat, kind of like Leviticus 22, but now, because you met the holy thing, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes was way out there running around like a bunch of crazy nuts, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Y'all, I thought to myself, I wondered to myself, Brother Burns, why? The Bible talks about he gets bought. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what it said? He bought money. Why do he even need to be bought? Why? Would you hold your place in Leviticus? Look at Exodus 22. Real quick Bible study. Bible study ain't never hurt nobody. Exodus 22. Watch what your book said, why this fella might have had to be bought. Exodus 22, verse number 1. If a man shall steal, he's a thief. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution if he have nothing, the thief, if he can't pay it back, then he shall be sold for his theft. Can I just pause real quick and say that's us?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Don't get indignant on me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you a thief. You got the blood of thieves running in your veins. You come from a family of thieves. Some of y'all mad enough to fight, thinking I'm talking about your mama and your daddy. I'm talking about where everybody in this building's blood come from. It come from thieves. So what you talking about? I'm talking about the two original people, Adam and Eve. They're thieves. They took something from a tree that didn't belong to them. That's called stealing in God's book. Two thieves stealing, and you got their blood in you. And here we find this old dirty thief gets bought by the priest. Y'all. Y'all, not 2 or 3 days before, he had been caught stealing. The priest buys him. 2 or 3 days later, he's sitting at the table. Holy things sitting all around him. And he says, but I'm a thief. I'm just an old rotten thief. And here I am eating of the most holy things that God called holy. How's that possible? It's all because of the priest. I said it's all because of the priest. Can I say, here we sit tonight, bunch of old thieves that deserve judgment, but we enjoy the holy things. Why? Because we met the priest of heaven. I got to hurry. The buying of the holy things. It ain't just about being bought. You know how else they got? They was made able to partake in holy things. It ain't just about being bought. It's about being born. Back to your text, Leviticus 22:11. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And there's somebody else that gets to eat. I'm getting to eat two times over. He that's born in his house. You know who else it talks about later on gets to partake in the meat too? His wife. I'm bought in, I'm born in, and I'm beloved in. I'm all three. I'm the purchased possession of the priest. I'm a child by birth of the priest. And I'm married up to him. I'm engaged to him going to the wedding. I get to partake in all of it, y'all. You, there ain't no wonder why Jesus looked at a Pharisee of the Pharisees and said, Nicodemus, I don't care what your pedigree is, ye must be born again. Your first birth only made you able to be a partaker in unholy things. Your first birth got you to be a partaker in lying, pride, envy, jealousy, cheating, stealing, adultery, fornication, all them nasty sins that we all got down in the heart, the Bible says. Our first birth got us into the ability to partake in all that. But one night, I was made meet to be a partaker of holy things. Why? Because I got born again. I swapped families. I got out the kingdom of darkness and was translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son tonight. When I came into this world, I just can't recall. Y'all, I don't remember anything about that birth at all. Oh, but on my knees one night in prayer, I just can't forget. I had a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. Oh, into this world it made no difference, and some would even frown, but the angels did rejoice when my name got written down. I'm unworthy of his mercy, but still he paid my debt. I've had a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. I like that so good, I'm going to sing another verse of it. It never made the morning papers, and it never made the evening news, when I took off the old man and I put on the new. My sin was cast into forgetfulness, far as the east is from the west. I've had a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. I'm curious, have you ever been made partaker of the holy things? Do you have part in anything I'm preaching about tonight? Do you remember a place? I didn't say a time, I said a place. I ain't put so much stock in a time. Paul never told us when his time was. He didn't say it was winter, spring, summer, fall. I don't worry about a time. But Paul did tell us over and over and over, there was a place. There was a place. There was a place. I don't care if you got it marked in your Bible or you can't. You say, I don't remember when it was. I don't care about a when. I want to know about a where. Do you remember where you were when you got bought, when you got born, when you got beloved into a family that you now partake in holy things? I got to hurry and go. We see not only the buying in holy things, but we see the blessing of holy things. Blessings of holy things. Oh my goodness, Preacher Raines. There are so many blessings attached to the holy things. You say, show them to us. I'd gladly take your Bible and go to Numbers with me. Look at Numbers chapter 18. It's going to show us all these holy things, all the blessings of them. Watch all the blessings associated with the holy things. Look at Numbers chapter 18, if you will. Numbers chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Just to the right, one book, Numbers 18, 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, Numbers 18, 8. I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things, that's them holy things, of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing into thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. And in the most holy place, thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings. Hang with me now. It's fixing to get better. With all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee and thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house. If you ain't clean, even if you're in the house, you ain't going to enjoy it. You read it just like I did. You say, that ain't New Testament, preacher. Oh. Didn't Paul put some stipulations on partaking of the Lord's table? Amen. If you don't put stipulations on partaking of the Lord's table, you endanger some condemnation at your church and the people who's taking it. Amen. Say amen right there. That Bible said if you ain't clean, even if you're saved, and you partake of the Lord's table, the body and the blood of Jesus, that symbolical type that some people God killed because they partook of it unworthily. Right? Holy things. I'd say communion, the Lord's table, I'd say that's a holy thing. We try and make it such at the church. It's holy. We don't make it spooky. We're not Roman Catholics, but it's holy. We don't cut out the lights and burn candles and all that. Matter of fact, the last time we had communion, we shouted and several people run the aisles and we sung nothing but the blood of Jesus and folk wept and cried, raised their hands and thank God they're meet to be a partaker of holy things. Amen. By the way, can I say this? Worship is a holy thing. See, I've heard some people say, Preacher Raines, that what you was talking about, that some of your family did and gone on to heaven, what they done. I've heard some people say, well, that ain't right, and that shouting's out of order, and that's just flesh. I'm telling you what, as far as God's concerned, worshiping, raising holy hands. Amen. Amen. That amen, that praise God, that's holy language. Amen. Yeah. As far as God's concerned, what we're doing when we worship, that's holy. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get hung up there. Watch what they get. Watch the blessings. Here comes verse 12. Verse 12, watch the blessings. All, good gracious, y'all, the best of the oil and all the best of the wine. See, God gives his children the best. I got to keep going. I'm going to get hung way up. And of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Whatsoever is first ripe in the land which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Y'all, that Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, don't tell me Paul wasn't thinking about this when he wrote Ephesians 1. Paul said we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We ain't talking about tonight physical blessings. Them ain't the holy things. Y'all, I'm not saying God didn't bless you with your car and God didn't bless you with your house. I'm not saying he didn't. But listen to me, that ain't holy things. That's just because God's good. But there ain't nothing holy about that 2020 Pacifica I drove up there in. Right. Ain't unholy about it. Right. That's carnal.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, God's even good to give us some carnal things sometimes. Amen. Ain't that what he told them believers over there? He said, if I've sown spiritual things into you, you ought to reap carnal things. Even God's good in the carnal things. But that ain't holy. My house ain't holy. It can burn up. You say, how can I tell if something's holy? It's something the world don't give.
Amen.
It's something the world can't take away.
Amen.
You say, preacher, where's holy things in my life? You hold it in your lap tonight.
Yeah.
I've been made, Preacher McBride, I made a partaker of this. I remember before I got saved, this thing didn't mean a whole lot to me. The night I got born again, I'll never forget, the night I got born again, I went home and I started reading in Genesis. And I ain't stopped since. I haven't. You say, you mean to tell me all these years you ain't read your Bible through? Yeah. But that Bible don't have an end. It's an inexhaustible well. And every time I get to what we perceive to be the end, I just start back at the beginning and roll back through again. You say, well, preacher, you said that holy things aren't carnal. I can hold this. I can touch this. Yeah, but this is forever settled in heaven. It didn't originate from here. It started out there and came down here. And God's just good enough to give it to us in print so we can hang on to something because we are carnal tonight.
Amen.
Don't tell me it ain't a blessing to partake in being able to come to the house of God. And all of a sudden you sit down and a good songs like we've heard tonight from Brother Burns and them Ellis family. And all of a sudden something stirs in your soul. Tears run down your face. You start giving God glory and raising your... That's holy things right there, friend. Now I'm telling you, we got a pile of them. Look all around. If you're saved, you have been blessed with so many spirit. I am so discouraged by how many of God's people, their joy, their peace, their calm is totally rooted in the carnal. I'm telling you what God gave us as children of the high priest of heaven, what God gave us as being bought into his family. These are things that if you ain't got a dime in your pocket, you can shout like the richest man in the church. If your house burns down tonight, you can get up in the morning and know that his mercies are new every day. Stop getting your joy from the temporal. Stop getting your joy from the carnal. You are living in Christ. And you have spiritual blessings tonight. And we don't deserve none of it. Speaking of carnal things. Here a few weeks ago, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, I guess now, Memorial Day weekend or whenever it was, down there right near where I pastor, about 20 minutes from where I pastor, is the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And every year, Memorial Day, they run the Coca-Cola 600. Now, I know nothing about NASCAR. I've never been a real fan of it. My motorsport of choice has always been motorcycles, and I was into that all. But I know nothing much about getting in a car and driving around and around and around and around and wind up in the same place you started after 600 miles. I don't know nothing about that. But a couple of fellas in the church like it, and just so happens we got a fellow in the church, a good brother in the church, that he is the marketing executive director for Joe Gibbs Racing. Works in the race car shop and around Coach Gibbs every day and knows all about it and around the team and everything. Good Christian man. And we're sitting around my table after church the day they're going to run the Coca-Cola 600 that night, just 15, 20 minutes down the road. One of them young preachers sitting at the table likes that NASCAR, and he said, hey, you reckon you could holler at Brother Heath, see if he could get us some tickets when church is out, that we could go down there and watch the race? They don't start till like 6:30. And it's 600 laps. They don't get over till like midnight, 15 minutes down the road. I said, I don't know. I'll check. Six, seven of us sitting around the table, me and my son, several young preachers or song leader and such as that. I text Brother Heath. I said, hey, what'd be just the wild possibility? Maybe you'd get us some tickets that when church is over and I'm done preaching, we could come down there and just catch the rest of the race. He said, hang on. It weren't 10 minutes later. I got an inbox from Ticketmaster. Here's your tickets. I mean, good seats, Brother Ellis. I ain't never been to one of these. But I mean, you know, I'm a redneck. You're bound to like it.
Amen. You know, it sounds like something rednecks do. We got our ticket. We started driving down to the stadium about 8 o'clock or so that night. And we're heading down that way in my van. And he texts me. He says, let me know when you get here. I'll come pick you up in the parking lot in the team golf cart. Oh, yeah. We pull up down there. I text him. And about that time, here comes one of them like 6-seater golf carts come riding around. Joe Gibbs racing on. He pulls right up, says, hop in. I'll drive you to the door. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling like somebody now, praise God. I got in that thing, Brother Heath. He drove us all the way up to the stadium. You can hear him in there running. He drops us off at the front door. He says, I'll holler at you later on. I got to get back to the infield. You can drive underneath the racetrack. And so we get up there. And I don't know if there's any NASCAR fans in here or not. If there is, you know what happened to Coca-Cola 600. Joe Gibbs' driver, young Chris Bell, was leading it. And about halfway through, a monsoon come down. Halfway through. We didn't watch 40 laps. We didn't watch 40 laps, Brother Bartlett, and it come a monsoon. That's all I got to take in of my NASCAR career with 40 laps, and it come a rainstorm. We get up under the bleachers, and we're sitting there, and he texts me. He says, hey, I don't know if they're going to call the race or not. If they do, we're going to win. He said, I don't know if they're calling it or not. He said, but this is what you do. Meet me out front. I'll come back and get you, and I'll bring you to the team bus at the infield, and you can hang out with the team. All of a sudden that thing pulls back up. I get in the side there of that golf cart, and he pulls us out on the track, pulls up in the infield, and we pull only where the driver's big old Prevost buses are back in there, where only the drivers can go. We get up in there with him and his sons and sitting there drinking Coca-Cola and having a good time in the bus like I'm somebody. Y'all, I ain't never even been to a NASCAR race in my life. I'm doing stuff people that like NASCAR would kill for. Some of y'all sitting right here hating me right now, envious, like, you don't even like NASCAR. How come you got to do that? All of a sudden, we sat there for about 45 minutes to an hour, and one of them race techs come running out and said, they called the race. Let's go to Victory Lane, boys. And they all start walking to Victory Lane. And Brother Heath says, come on, let's go. And I said, Victory Lane? He said, yeah, you with me. Come on. We start walking to Victory Lane. Now, Victory Lane down there, it's got like a gate around it. Only the VIPs get inside of it, the executives and the media and such that, and they shut the gate behind you, and everybody else, all the peasants, have to stand outside and watch. Y'all, I walked up in there, people's crowding everywhere. I got up like they got the big banner, Coca-Cola 600, and where the race team stands with the car. I got way up over here and stood up on the top of that thing, way to the side, and I'm watching all this. Inside this gated area, they done shut it and locked it. They rolled the race car in. Chris Bell walks in. Coach Gibbs standing right over there talking to people. Coca-Cola executives walk around handing hats out. And I'm standing there thinking, how in the world I wind up in here? Mind you, right behind me is the gate where everybody's locked out at, and behind that, that's where all the rednecks are that didn't get in. And about that time, I'm standing there watching this whole thing go down, and not more than 10 feet from me on the other side of the gate, thank God he was, I heard somebody hollering at me. I turned around and looked, and there's this drunk redneck, shirtless, orange fluorescent shorts on, hair down to here, had to have been some of my wife's people. I've seen them at some family get-togethers. Had to have been some of my wife's people. And he's looking at me and he's hollering. He's saying, you so-and-so, you don't deserve to be there. He was saying that because the race got called and he thought I was part of the team. And thought we didn't deserve to be there because the race got called. We didn't legitimately win it. You, this and that. I mean, just talking dirty to me. You don't deserve to be there. And I turned around and looked at him and I said, I know. I know. He had no idea where I'd come from or how I wound up there. But I was agreeing with everything he said.
I didn't deserve to be there. And the only way that I got into Victory Lane, the only way that I got into the celebration is because I knew somebody. Because somebody come out there, picked me up, and brought me in. I couldn't have walked in. They'd have stopped me and locked me up. Had I just walked up and said, my good man, I'm Cody Zorn, I pastor Bible missionary, let me in. So they'd have said, you fitting to get locked up, Jack, back yourself up. But because I knew somebody, because I knew somebody that was hooked up with somebody, I got to walk right in, and I didn't deserve it, but I got to be part of it. And y'all, one day we're going to stand in Victory Lane. We're going to stand in the place of God behind pearly gates and streets of gold. And can I say, I don't deserve to be there, and you don't deserve to be there, but because one day we got brought in, we got bought in, we got born in, we got beloved in, we're going to get to have part tonight. Blessings are the holy things. Buying are the holy things. But I don't want to put no damper on nothing. I'm done. But I would like to say this. I got to say this and I'm done. There is such a thing as a ban and a block on holy things. There was a ban and a block on holy things. Would you go back to our text and we'll close right here. A ban and a block. Just everybody don't get to partake. Verse number 10 denotes the stranger, the servant, the sojourner. If they haven't been born or they haven't been bought or they haven't been beloved in, they don't get no part in it. Can I say tonight, if you've never met Jesus Christ and you've never met the holy thing of heaven, you have no part in holy things tonight. You say, but I believe in God. That ain't what I'm talking about. I would imagine that there would probably nobody in Israel would ever say something so stupid as this. I don't believe in holy things. Well, of course they believe in it. There it is. You can see it. They waving it. They offering it. You can see the holy things. They wouldn't say, I don't believe in it. They believe there's holy things out there. But unless you ever taste them, oh, taste and see. Lest you ever get a taste of it, then you're not a partaker of it. See, we live in a society, I believe in God. Surely you wouldn't be so dumb and ignorant as to say, I don't believe there's a God. That's stupid. Somebody that's educated past their intelligence says foolish things like that. But just knowing there's a God and believing there's a God and knowing that Jesus, I mean, look, brother, we live in a day the most vile of vile singers can get up and sing songs and talk about Jesus in them and church in them and sucker in a bunch of dumb Baptists and they'll say, oh, that feller's saved. Come on, man, you smarter than that. Come on, man. Just because somebody has a mental assent that God's real and Jesus is who he said he was, don't mean they saved. There must be a partaking, believing in thine heart. I've accepted this. I've partaken in this. It's not just out here. It's in here. The ban and the block is not just on lost people. And may I also say this, there ain't no doubt Peter had been reading his Old Testament too, because he looked at a man named Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter number 8, and Simon the Sorcerer heard the message and had a mental assent to the message, but he didn't have the salvation from the message. And Peter told Simon the Sorcerer this. Peter said, you have no right nor part in this matter. You've never partaken in it. But listen to me, I'm done. The ban and the block ain't just for people that's never partaken. And I want you to get this, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to have the Ellis family come back up in just a second. Maybe, could y'all maybe sing that last song y'all sung? That was great. The ban and the block don't just go for people that's never partaken. Listen to me. It goes to people who partook and then decided they didn't want no more. Now watch what your text said. Don't miss this. I'm done. Watch what your text said. Verse 12. Verse 12, Leviticus 22, 12. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things, But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. Listen to me. It said there's a daughter that she could have known what it's like to partake. And if all of a sudden she runs off with the heathen, she don't get an opportunity to have anymore. Right. Listen to me. That don't mean she ain't his daughter. Right. It still called her his daughter even though she's out there living with the heathen. She just don't get to enjoy the holy things. Y'all listen to me and don't you miss what I'm fixing to tell you. We are living in such a mamby-pamby, watered-down church day and a bunch of limp-wristed, mossy-backed pastors that we'll just let anybody partake in anything in the church and it don't matter how they're living. We're living in a day you can sing on the platform, you can run a Sunday school, you can play an instrument, and you can be living like hell and the devil and post it all over social media and we'll still let you have a part in holy things. I'm telling you, that's foreign to the Bible. That Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that if a brother be called a fornicator, if a brother be called a railer, if a brother be called a drunkard, if a brother be called an idolater, if a brother be covetous, you ain't even supposed to let him eat with you. And you sure ain't supposed to let him take a part in the holy things. That's how church discipline works, y'all. You know why church discipline don't work no more? Because we let people have their cake and eat it too. You can live like the devil, live like the world. Oh, come on up in the choir and sing on Sunday. We'll make you feel good about it. That doesn't make anyone want to get right. Here we find there was a priest's daughter. She's the daughter of the priest, Preacher Raines. And one day she, listen to me, what happened? How'd she wind up away from holy things? She took it for granted. She's been raised, good gracious, all you young church kids, please listen to me. She's been raised up in it all her life.
Yeah.
And she has no idea how fortunate she is.
Man.
She's been eating the best of the best. The best grapes. The best wine. The best oil. The best harvest. The best meat. She's been eating the best. It's the first fruits. It's the holy stuff. And she don't even know how good she's got it. You don't know why we're losing a generation. I get so sick and tired of hearing this garbage. We're losing a generation because you preachers are just ugly and you preachers are teaching too tight. No, I'll tell you why we're losing a generation. Because they've been raised up around this all their life and they've taken it for granted. They have no idea how good they have it. You want to know why these old drunks and drug addicts that knew about, you want to know why that former generation, your daddy and my daddy, you want to know why they stuck and they made it? Because they remembered how unholy and wicked it was in the world. And they were so happy to get something clean. They were so happy to get something holy. They said, I don't ever want to get back in that again. But we've raised a generation that this is all you've ever known. Born around holy things. And you don't even realize how good you've got it. Can you imagine this priest's daughter? She gets out there with the heathen. Can you imagine the first time she pulls up to the table with the heathen and they flop down pork in front of her? Now, I know we in a New Testament church, Age of Grace, we can eat it, but I'm talking about spiritual preaching, spiritual connotation here. All of a sudden, Brother Ellis, they throw down that pork in front of her and that strong drink that she wasn't supposed to drink. And she looks at it and she says, I ain't never had nothing like that before. I probably ought not to take. Oh, come on. You don't want to be a square, do you? That's crazy. What your mom and daddy taught you ain't right. We're all eating it. That first time she partook in something that wasn't holy, brother, something inside her said, you know this ain't right. You know that's defiling you. You know that ain't what you used to get down there at your daddy's house. That stuff down there was holy in taste. It was holy in its form. It was something holy. Some of y'all tonight, you started eating at a different table in your heart, on the internet, in your music, and you know it's defiling you. You know how I can tell when somebody's starting to leave the holy things? You can watch it on their face when they start showing up to church. I've watched young people, preacher, that used to enjoy this, and then all of a sudden you watch, they start getting around a crowd that's been eating the unclean stuff of this world. You can start seeing that coldness set in on them. You say, I've been Preacher, maybe that's me. I've been eating some of that unholy stuff. Is there hope for me? Oh, yeah. There's restoration. Aren't you glad for restoration? I'm telling you, us independent Baptists get a bad rap because they say we shoot our own wounded and we don't help people. I don't know. Maybe there's some like that, but that ain't the crowd I run with. That ain't this crowd. We believe in restoring people. We believe in helping people get up out the dirt and get right with God. Watch what your Bible said. Verse number 13 said this. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced, have no child, she can return to her father's house and eat the holy stuff again. Said she got divorced. She finally realizes, you, sir, are taking me down the wrong road. Cat daddy, see you. Now I'm talking spiritually speaking here. I'm divorcing myself from you. Some of y'all need to divorce yourself from some of the stuff you yoked up in tonight. Some of y'all yoked up in some things and it's hindering you from enjoying the holy stuff. You ought to tonight divorce yourself from it and say, I'm running back to the Father's house. I'm running back to the priest's house. And I'm going to go back where I can enjoy the good preaching and the good singing and the good word of God. I'm tired of missing out on holy things. Can you imagine one day she finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Got tired of feeding on the husks that the swine did eat. And said, man, there's some bread back down there at daddy's house. Brother Ellis, would you help me here? She said, come help us, Brother Ellis. Give us a song. She said, man, I know down there at daddy's house, they're going to have a shoulder roast going. They're going to have hot bread and butter and all cooked up. And I know if I go back home, daddy will let me get something to eat. Won't you get cleaned up tonight so you can go back to enjoying what God brought you from and bought you from and birthed you into? And tonight, maybe you've never ever been translated from one kingdom and one family to another. Won't you come tonight and say, Lord, I'm just an old unworthy sinner, stranger. Lord, take me in for Jesus' sake. Lord, I believe you paid the price for me on Calvary, suffered, bled, and died for my sins. Please save me and take me in so I can enjoy holy things. When's the last time you enjoyed holy things, Christian? Have you gotten used to it? Has it gotten old to you? I mean, I'm nothing special. I'm nobody nothing special, Preacher Raines, but I mean, I did give you a bunch of holy stuff tonight. When's the last time stuff like that did anything for your heart? Your kid hitting a home run does a whole lot for you. Your favorite driver winning the race does a whole lot for you. Your kid kicking a goal does a whole lot for you. When's the last time preaching did anything for you? When's the last time singing did anything for you? I fear we ain't enjoying holy things no more because we neck deep in unholy things. As a child of God, we just can't enjoy that like we used to. This is what we live for. We live for the holy things. Won't you come to an altar and say, Lord, thank you for making me a partaker. And Lord, help me to rekindle my taste for holy things. Let's all stand.